From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim. Coming up on Forum, some environmental groups call it frankenfish, genetically modified salmon that federal regulators approved yesterday as safe to eat. But some food safety advocates want to sue the FDA to keep it out of stores. We hash out the concerns. Then at 9:30, a new study finds Americans under the age of 30 are happier than those over 30. That's a big change from past research that has long found people grow happier as they age. We explore the reasons behind the shift with the study's author. That's all next on Forum after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, welcome to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. Some consumer advocacy groups are decrying the Food and Drug Administration's decision yesterday to greenlight, for the first time, a genetically modified animal for human consumption. The altered salmon from a company called Aqua Bounty Technologies grows twice as fast as conventionally farm-raised ones, and the FDA, in giving its approval yesterday, decided it was not necessary to label the fish as different from any other salmon in the supermarket. Let me tell you who's joining us to talk about this new development. First, J.D. Hansen. He's policy director at the Center for Food Safety. His organization is also thinking about filing a lawsuit against the FDA. J.D. Hansen, welcome to Forum.
Nice to be with you.
We're also joined by Val Giddings. He's senior fellow of the Information Technology and Innovation Foundation. He's also the president and CEO of the consulting company Prometheus AB and a former consultant to Aqua Bounty. Good morning, Val Giddings.
Thanks, Mina. It's nice to be here.
It's nice to have you. And I was wondering, Val Giddings, if you could just start by explaining to us how this new kind of fast-growing salmon was created.
Well, some Canadian scientists almost 20 years ago took a gene for growth hormone from a king salmon, from a Chinook salmon, and combined that with what we call a promoter sequence. It's basically an on switch from another ocean fish, put them together, inserted them into Atlantic salmon, and that causes the Atlantic salmon that gene is expressed constantly. It's constantly turned on in the Atlantic salmon, causing the salmon to grow throughout the year. And that means it reaches market size in about half the time as conventionally farmed salmon, making it economical to grow these salmon in contained facilities on land, which solves most of the problems that those of us concerned about the environment worry about with respect to salmon grown in ocean pens.
So you say this growth hormone is constantly turned on. That means that typically or naturally it turns off at certain times of the year.
Correct. The wild salmon have evolved so that they do not grow during the winter when food is not around. And the gene that expresses the protein, the hormone that causes them to grow, turns itself off in the autumn and is off through the winter, turns back on when food becomes available in the spring. With this salmon, they have tweaked it so that on switch never turns off. That's why it reaches market size more quickly than conventional salmon. And the changes that this brings about address most of the concerns about environmental impacts we want to be looking out for.
And I'll get to some of the potential benefits in a moment, but when you say half the time to market size, so it takes typically 3 years to get to market size, so this would be like a year and a half.
That's correct. It's about 32 to 34 months usually to get to market size for conventional salmon, and 16 to 18 months for this salmon that FDA just approved.
And you said from Chinook salmon that this gene or this this gene came from, which is a fish native to California rivers.
Well, it's native to California. It's native to the Pacific coast. It's the stands in Alaska are some of the healthiest wild stocks of fish anywhere in the world. It's a fish that we're very familiar with, that we've been eating from time immemorial. So we know that this fish is safe.
So this fish, as I understand it, was actually developed about 25 years ago. So that was a long time ago. Why is it being approved now?
Well, there are to give a full answer to that would take a lot longer. The entire program that you have here, to make a long story short.
Yeah, let's make it short.
It, it, it took the researchers who were developing this, it took them quite a while to figure out actually how to make this work on a repeatable basis to be reliable and dependable. And then they had to consider carefully the economics of growing it in landlocked tanks and all of that. So that took them a while to work out. And then it took them a while to have conversations with the Food and Drug Administration, to figure out, well, what would we need to demonstrate to you at FDA to make you comfortable that this is safe for humans to eat? What kind of a data package should be provided? It took them a long time to figure that out. It wasn't until about 8 years ago that they really finally reached agreement on what that kind of a data package would look like. And then they submitted that package to FDA. So FDA has been looking at this for about 8 years in detail, although they've been considering the idea for much longer. FDA says that this being the first of its class, they wanted to make sure to do it right. They have been very thorough in their evaluations. Anybody who doubts that, I invite them to look at the hundreds upon hundreds of pages of documentation available on the FDA website. So it took them a while to get through that. In addition, there was some political interference that slowed things down for a while, but those hurdles were overcome, leading us to the position yesterday where FDA finally put out the green light.
And so J.D. Hansen of the Center for Food Safety, it's, many, many years, as Val Gidding says, being studied by the FDA, but you have concerns about whether or not this fish is really safe. What are those?
Well, there are several. One is the small sample size of the small number of animals that they actually tested. Their test for whether this fish will be more allergenic than typical Atlantic salmon use six fish, and that's a good start, but not a very good sample size. I talked to Ron Stoddish a few years back, and said, Ron Stoddish is the president of the company that's
Of Aqua Bounty Technologies.
Aqua
Bounty. Yes,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And I said, you did such a poor job. If you're presenting data to the FDA, that they had to discount entirely one of your studies, and the other study has only got six fish in it. Are you thinking of doing a study where you actually had human feeding trials? He said, well, we talked to a university about that, and they recommended that we actually feed this to at least 100 people. And he says, those are expensive tests, and if the FDA is not requiring it, I'm not going to do it. And, I was hoping that, in the subsequent years, the company actually went back and redid some of those tests, and it's not in the data that FDA presented yesterday. And, the data on one of the effects of feeding the hormones is you have another hormone produced in the, not feeding it, but having the hormone in the fish. You have another hormone produced in the liver that's called IGF-1. And those tests involved only 30 fish, again, a really small sample size.
So let me ask Val Gidding, six fish, 30 fish, as J.D. Hansen is saying, that doesn't sound like a lot.
The FDA required a whole bunch of different tests from Aqua Bounty. Aqua Bounty did a vast number of tests, including some that FDA did not require. The sample sizes ranged dramatically. All the sample sizes for critical tests met appropriate standards for robustness and for providing conclusions that are dependable. In the absence of any imaginable hypothesis that would suggest that there is, in fact, a potential for allergenicity or concerns about IGF-1, there's no reason to test for that. What the test that Aqua Bounty did showed exactly that the Aqua Bounty salmon differs in no particular in terms of its material composition from other Atlantic salmon. So there's no reason to suspect the kind of things that Mr. Hansen is concerned about. And I take this very seriously personally because my son has a life-threatening allergy, and I want to make sure that I protect him from threats of the sort that we're talking about here. And yet, if I can get this fish, as soon as I can get this fish, not only will I eat it, but I will feed it to my children, to my family and my friends. This is at least as safe as other Atlantic salmon, and because of the unprecedented degree of scrutiny that it's gone through, we have every reason to believe it will be safer than other Atlantic salmon.
And Val Giddings, I mentioned that you're a former consultant of Aqua Bounty. What's your relationship with them now?
Relationship with Aqua Bounty now, I'm participating in this phone call in my capacity as the senior fellow with ITIF. And we're concerned that we'd be able to tap all the innovations that we can get our hands on to meet the needs for food, feed, and fiber of a population estimated to be between 9 and 10 billion in less than 30 years. And, you know, one of the main sources for improved food and feed access is going to be through improved intensive growing. We know that 90% of the world's fish stocks are overfished or at capacity now. We in the United States today import 100% of the Atlantic salmon that we consume, and we see a huge amount of salmon consumed in the United States. I think 250,000, is it a million pounds? I don't know. It's a gigantic amount. And this technology offers us the opportunity for growing this salmon in close proximity to major markets like Chicago, eliminating the carbon footprint, eliminating the potential negative impacts of CPEN-raised salmon. It's really hard to find anything legitimate to worry about, especially after you wade through all the hundreds upon hundreds of pages of safety analyses that FDA did in the course of their 8 years of review.
Well, Val Giddings, let me open this up to our callers. We're talking with Val Giddings, a senior fellow at Information Technology and Innovation Foundation and a former consultant to Aqua Bounty. And we're talking with J.D. Hansen, policy director for the Center for Food Safety. I want to ask our listeners, what is your reaction to the FDA's decision to approve genetically altered salmon yesterday? Would you buy and eat GMO salmon? Give us a call at 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Or you can email us at forum@kqed.org, or you can post your comments on our Facebook page or on our website, kqed.org/forum. You can tweet us at KQED Forum. J.D. Hansen, we heard Val Giddings talk about the environmental benefits of this genetically modified salmon, but you have other environmental concerns as well.
Well, we are concerned that this fish is being reared not in the U.S., so the FDA made clear that at least right now this fish can't be reared near Chicago. They're requiring it to be reared in Prince Edward Island, which is
in
right
Canada,
right in the center of traditional Atlantic salmon fisheries. The Atlantic salmon up there are just hanging on, but they're quite endangered. So the facility that the company has is not an inland facility. It's only about 120 feet from the sound. So we're concerned that, you know, there have been storms big enough to seriously damage a facility only 120 feet from the sound up there.
So then the salmon could escape, is your concern?
And those are the fertile salmon that they're raising up there. And by the way, it's those fertile salmon the FDA said did have an allergenic profile that was disturbing, and they told the company that they would not approve the fertile salmon in part because of this increased allergic potential.
So the salmon then would be sterile?
The salmon that is going to be sold has had an extra X chromosome forced into it to make it sterile.
And so if it's sterile, why would you be concerned about breeding capability of these fish?
Well, because they have to have a large number of fertile fish to make those eggs that they then sterilize.
Oh, I see.
And then anyone who's ever had a teenager knows the effect of hormones on appetite. If these fish, even if they're sterile, got out, they could eat up the things that those other Atlantic salmon are trying so hard to survive up there. And they can also go through the motions of breeding and cause the few remaining males up there to waste their ability to breed with other females.
Well, we've got a lot of callers who would like to weigh in on this. Let me go to Ryan in Foster City. Hi, Ryan.
Hi. Yeah, I'm a professional statistician, and I just find it shocking that we would pass something with only 6 fish in a sample. It's not even close to a reasonable sample size for this kind of a study. I don't have an opinion either way on whether GMO is a good idea, but just because you run a lot of different tests doesn't mean that those tests have any real value unless you do them correctly.
Ryan, thanks. Stacy also writes, there's no independent health and safety testing for human consumption of genetically modified foods. Studies on animals link GMOs to a myriad of health issues, including cancer and infertility. My family avoids GMOs as much as possible. We don't want to be part of a science experiment. We've already approved a wide range of GMO plants in our market, like corn and tomatoes. Is there a higher level of scrutiny for fish that we should be concerned about, J.D. Hansen, that animals in particular could have a more harmful effect on humans?
Well, yes, we do know this. And, the FDA decided that they would evaluate this as though the genetic engineering were a drug for the animal. Not as a human food. We've advocated that they at least test this genetic construct as a new food additive, which is a whole different procedure that does require different testing to see if it's safe to eat as a food. They decided to test it as a drug for the animal and just are trying to make sure the animal's okay, which, by the way, it's not. And we think that they should have done 30 years ago what a lot of other countries did and develop novel food regulations where new foods are tested as new foods.
The other aspect of this, Val Giddings, is that the fish will not be labeled as different in the supermarket. Why was that?
You've got a number of different issues here, and I'm concerned that Mr. Hansen has factually mischaracterized both the fish and the FDA's review process. We do not have time for me to correct all those mistakes, but I would encourage folks not to take my word for it, but to go through the documents that FDA has posted on our website, where they will find the issues that Mr. Hansen has raised have been thoroughly addressed and that in a way that allows them to set them aside as being without merit. As for the food labeling issue, there are myriad opportunities through which consumers today have the opportunity to exercise freedom of choice to buy foods derived through crops or other animals improved through biotechnology or to avoid them. My understanding is that the company intends to label this fish in some appropriate way to make sure consumers are informed, but they have not yet decided how best to do that, an issue which is complicated because some of the individuals who are in opposition to this have been very clear in their intention to use mandatory labels to disinform and to mislead consumers. And that's a problem because that's just not an acceptable business practice.
Val Giddings, can I ask you, if consumers are squeamish about genetically modified fish, or at least some of our listeners are expressing that they are, is there even a strong market demand for this kind of genetically engineered fish?
Well, we consume in the United States every year at least 250,000 tons of Atlantic salmon. This is a very big market. Those consumers who choose to be squeamish about this particular fish will have opportunities to buy fish from other sources. But I would be very surprised if there is not a substantial demand. I have seen indications in all my conversations with folks on this over many years that there is a demand for this fish out here. This is a high-quality nutritious food that dietitians tell us we should eat more of. And what Aqua Bounty has done here promises to bring a safe fish, a safe food into reach economically of a larger number of people, in a way that answers many of the concerns folks have had in the past about conventionally farmed fish.
How
soon? It's really hard to find.
I'm sorry, forgive me, but how soon could this fish be in supermarkets now that it has approval?
It will be several years at best.
Several years, so like 5 years?
It could take 5 years. You can imagine that it could be accomplished in perhaps 2 or 3, but I think that's probably pushing it. I think it might take a little longer than that.
And then how much would, I mean, what's the capacity of Aqua Bounty to put out fish?
Well, the capacity at the moment is limited because their one facility for rearing fish to sell is in Panama. That was not, in fact, required by FDA, as Mr. Hansen stated. The company proposed that to FDA, and FDA approved it. The company proposed that to FDA as a way of adding yet another level of abundant biological containment and security to reduce to zero the potential for a problem if any of the fish did escape containment, which is so highly unlikely.
Eli,
but it would take them a while to scale up to meet anything approaching a recognizable consumer demand, and that would require them ultimately to build facilities here in the U.S., which would require separate approval from FDA. They have not announced any such plans to do that, but it wouldn't surprise me if that took place in the not-too-distant future.
Eli tweets, a faster-growing salmon that consumes less food? The FDA just hammered the last nail in the coffin of indigenous Pacific salmon. A listener emails, this seems to be about making some people rich. If they were concerned with feeding the world, they would have done this with a fish like tilapia. This didn't need to happen. And Robert writes, virtually every animal that Americans eat is genetically modified. J.D. Hansen, you're concerned also that this approval gives a boost to the genetically modified animal industry and sets a precedent, correct?
Yes. And, you know, the same company has genetically engineered trout with the same construct and tilapia. If they were really just wanting to feed the world, they would have gone first with their tilapia, asking for approval for it.
Give me a sense, just because we have a minute left, of what the status is of your lawsuit plans.
Well, it's like any lawsuit, and one, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know exactly about that.
Okay, Val Giddings, last word.
Well, this is a fish that is produced to answer many of the concerns folks have had in the past about conventionally farmed salmon. It does so in a way that provides a safe and nutritious food, with economic and environmental benefits to consumers, and it's just really hard when you look at the data to come out any other way than that this is a good thing to happen, and we need more of it.
Val Giddings, Senior Fellow of the Information Technology and Innovation Foundation and former consultant to Aqua Bounty. Also, J.D. Hansen joined us, Policy Director at the Center for Food Safety. Thank you both for being here. Up next, we talk about happiness with San Diego State Psychology Professor Gene Twenge. I'm Mina Kim. This is Forum. Stay with us.